I used to time it when I was a college student. And it actually happened. It was amazing. You go to the cafeteria, and every 7 minutes about, all of a sudden, for no reason at all, it would just suddenly just get a little quiet. And then, all the talk come back. So we just had one of those. So I don't know if it's because of that or because everybody said, oh, it's time to start. You're a tough crowd today, I tell you. Oh, now you know how my mind works. So let's give God the glory that you don't have my mind. Hallelujah. So let's stand and bless the Lord and welcome him into our place of worship. He's already here, but I think it's good to have the right spirit about it. So Lord God, thank you for coming. Thank you for being with us and in us. We know, Lord, that it's not this house, this building, this sanctuary, this church that is the dwelling place of your Holy Spirit in the truest form of what you want to be in our lives. Your dwelling place is within us. And so, Lord, while you are here, because you're omnipresent, we bring your presence with us as believers, as followers, as your children. And thank you for being with us always. And coming together, we know that there's something special that happens. And so I pray that as you have freedom in this place to just do your will, I pray, Lord God, that your anointing will be upon us all. We give you thanks and praise for this wonderful day. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Sometimes we sing songs that express the character of God in the masculine way. And I think that's kind of cool once in a while. We get that, ooh, 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 yes, go God. But sometimes we get that character of God that's expressed in a feminine way. And sometimes I think about this song as being one of those. Because God created us all in his image. Male and female, he created them. That's what the word of God declares. Well, God is beautiful. And so let's sing about the beauty of who God is, shall we? Beautiful one.
Love, your cross has spoken mercy over me. No eye has seen, no ear has heard, no heart could fully know how glorious, how beautiful you are. Beautiful one, I love, beautiful one, I adore, beautiful one, my soul. Displayed for all to see, the beauty of your majesty awakes my heart to sing. How marvelous, how wonderful you are. Beautiful one, I love. Beautiful one, I adore. Beautiful one, my soul must sing. Beautiful one, I adore. Beautiful one, my soul must sing. You opened my eyes to your wonders anew. You captured my heart with this love. Nothing on earth is as beautiful as you. You opened my eyes to your wonders anew. You captured my heart with this love. Nothing on earth is as beautiful as you. Beautiful one, I love. Beautiful one, I adore. Beautiful one, my soul must sing. Beautiful one, I love. Beautiful one, I adore. Beautiful one, my soul must sing. My soul must sing, my soul must sing, beautiful one. My soul must sing, my soul must sing, my soul must sing, beautiful one.
Amen. Does your soul cry out to him? Does it want to just sing the glories of God? Our souls are hungry. They're longing for him. If you know him, you understand that in a very cool way. But sometimes we get distracted. But he is always there with us. Amen? Hallelujah. This next song is taking an old song with a newer twist. It's been around a while. But it still has all the great words of Amazing Grace. Grace. Hallelujah. We praise your holy name. Hallelujah. This is the time in our service where we normally focus a little bit on the offering time. Many of you have already given, and we're thankful for that faithfulness, and some of you haven't had that opportunity yet, and so we'll pray for the offering and just ask the Lord's blessing. We're thankful if you're following some of the finances in the bulletin, you'll notice we had a very generous gift this last month. And it's something that I'm very thankful for, and I think we all should be. God has blessed in very wonderful ways. But I do want to say that the monthly support has been struggling, and I don't know what's all involved with why. I just trust the Lord. He provides, and as we obviously can see from the bulletin. But I just want to encourage you, don't ever give up on him. Don't ever slide in your faithfulness, because I believe as we are able to bless him, his blessings flow freely. And when we limit what we do, I believe it in some ways limits what he can do. And so I just want to encourage you, if you've been faithful, praise God. Thank you for that. If you haven't been, I encourage you, be faithful in every way that God's called you, in your time, in your prayers, in your devotions, in your giving. God will honor your gifts and your faithfulness. I know this is true. Lord, thank you for the blessing it is to give. Thank you that we can give you from the proceeds that you have blessed us with through incomes. And I just ask, God, that you will continue to honor and bless your people, and that all that comes in, no matter how it comes, will be to the furtherance of your kingdom, to be a blessing to your people, a blessing to this community, and a blessing to reach those who haven't met you yet. We just ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. As we sing, you're welcome to bring an offering. You unravel me with a melody. You surround me with a song of deliverance from my enemies, till all my fears are gone. I'm no longer a slave to fear. Child of God, I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. From my mother's womb, you have chosen me. Love has called my name. I've been born again into your family. Your blood flows through my veins. I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child. So I could walk right through it. My fears were drowned in perfect love. You rescued me so I could stand and sing. I am a child of God. Let's sing it again. You split the sea so I could walk right through it. My fears were drowned in perfect love. You rescued me so I could stand and sing. I am a child of God. I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. I'm no longer a slave to fear. Child of God, I'm no longer a slave. Thank you, Lord. Honestly, I can't imagine living today without knowing him. I don't know what fear is. Honestly, I don't. I don't know what fear is. Not that kind of fear. But there are so many in our world that do. So many that have been hurt. So many other expressions I could share about the pain that we carry in this world. Much of it has nothing to do with our decisions. It's life. Maybe some bad choices, whether it's ours or someone else. But when you find him, fear vanishes. Peace comes. Happiness is no longer a desire because we find joy. Lord, thank you for finding me. Thank you for finding us. I'm so glad I said yes to you. If you're here today and you're struggling with that yes to God, he's not going to give up on you. If you're listening in online and you don't even know why you're listening, he's chasing you. He doesn't have fears like we do. He doesn't hold back. But he has something that one writer, song leader called reckless love. You are not an afterthought. You are not a mistake. You are a plan of God. And he wants you as much as he wants anybody that's ever been. I think it's time to quit running. Before I spoke a word, you were singing over me. I'll get it. You have been so, so good to me. Yes. Before I took a breath, you breathed your life in me. You have been so, so kind to me. Oh, the overwhelming, never-ending, reckless love of God. Oh, it chases me down, fights till I'm found, leaves the 99. I couldn't earn it, I don't deserve it. Still you give yourself away. All the overwhelming, never-ending, reckless love of God. Still your love fought for me. You have been so, so good to me.
felt no worth, you paid it all for me. You have been so, so kind to me. All the overwhelming, never-ending, reckless love of God. Oh, it chases me down, fights till I'm found, leaves the 99. I couldn't earn it, I don't deserve it, still you give yourself away. All the overwhelming, never-ending, reckless love of God, yeah. Mountain you won't climb up, coming after me. There's no wall you won't kick down, lie you won't tear down, coming after me. There's no shadow you won't light up, mountain you won't climb up, coming after me. There's no wall you won't kick down, lie you won't tear down, coming after me. Shadow you won't light up, mountain you won't climb up, coming after me. There's no wall you won't kick down, lie you won't tear down, coming after me. All the overwhelming, never-ending, reckless love of God. Oh, it chases me down, fights till I'm found, leaves the I couldn't earn it, I don't deserve it, still you give yourself away. All the overwhelming, never-ending, reckless love of God, yeah.
Giving up on me, Lord. Hallelujah. Sometimes we face things that seem impossible, but God has a way of getting us through. As this song so eloquently declares, He is the way maker. He can get us through anything as we trust in Him. Hallelujah. You are here, moving in our midst. I worship you, I worship you. You are here, working in this place. I worship you, I worship you. You are Waymaker, Miracle Worker, Promise Keeper, Light in the Darkness, my God, that is who you are. You are here, touching every heart. I worship you, I worship you. You are here, healing every heart. I worship you, I worship you.
You are way maker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness. My God, that is who you are. You are way maker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness. My God, that is who you are. You are here, turning lives around. I worship you. I worship you. You are here, mending every heart. I worship you. I worship you. Oh, you are waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness. My God, that is who you are. You are waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness. My God, that is who you are. 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 That is who you are.
Even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. Never stop, you never stop working. Never stop, you never stop working.
Even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. Never stop, you never stop working. Never stop, you never stop working. Even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. Never stop, you never stop working. Never stop, you never stop working.
Darkness, my God, that is who you are. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Lord, we lift up our needs to you today. And we trust you. We trust you for the impossible, the unreachable, the unbelievable. For the everyday things, the natural occurrence of a day, we give that to you as well. For each small item on our plate, and for everything that seems overwhelming, we give it all to you. We trust you. Our loved ones who are dealing with sickness, who may or may not be with us much longer. That's your call, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
That's for you to decide.
We know your will is not always what we want, but it's always good. For those that are dealing with the financial burdens, Lord, you have an answer to that.
Yes.
For making big decisions about life, you know exactly what you're doing there as well. We trust you, Lord. We give our hearts to you. We give our burdens to you, and we rejoice in your truth. And we agree together, and we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you as you're seated.
Praise the Lord. What a wonderful day it is today, just to gather in fellowship. Hallelujah. Thank you for worshiping with us today and being a part of our service. I want to just draw your attention to a few things before we dismiss kids for Kids Church, or actually it's BGMC Day today, I believe. Before we do that, just to draw your attention to a few items, one thing that I've been waiting to do because I forgot the first Sunday I could, so I'm just going to announce it anyway because I want to. We have new members in our church, official voting members, and I never, I had a chance to do that the following Sunday when Robert and MJ were both here, but Robert and MJ Marks, Mary Jo Marks, they are new members of our church, and I'm so thankful for that, so praise the Lord. I totally blew it the Sunday following our board meeting because I meant to do it, and then I just breezed on through into something else, and next thing you know, church is over and everybody left. So that was my bad. But anyway, they've had other things happening during the week, but I don't think they're present here today, but we're going to still make that announcement. And I'll try to remember to do that when they're here as well. Dinner church is happening soon. We're excited about what this will be for our community and for reaching into the lives of people that will not come here. It's not because of you. It's not because of me. It's more or less because of organized religion and the fear of. So we are reaching into a community of people, is our heart's desire, who may want to talk about God, but they don't want to come here to do it. And so I'm excited about the dinner church ministry of what it is and what it will be. We are going to have a meeting this Wednesday at 6 o'clock at the Jefferson School, which will be the location of dinner church. And we'll just kind of gather as all that have been a part of it and want to be a part so that we can divvy up responsibilities for the September 22nd kickoff date. And if you have conflicts, please let me know. But otherwise, I hope and expect to see everybody there that's been a part of the training already for sure. There's youth activities happening. Be aware of that for the teens. Youth yard sale is this coming Saturday, and we're needing items that you don't care about keeping. You would love to give it. You know it's got value, and it can go to the Ministry of Speed the Light, which is missions that provides vehicles as a priority and other media abilities as well, but vehicles for sure. We want our missionaries to get somewhere when they need to go somewhere. And so we provide vehicles through that ministry. So if you are able to be a part of that, please talk to Pastor Jason, who's actually filling in, I believe, today in Broadus. So if you're wondering where he is, that's where he is. Combined community service next Sunday. Woohoo! Yay, one person's excited. Ah, that's wonderful. You might be wondering, why are we doing this? Well, there's a number of reasons. One reason, which is quite obvious, is The Child Bridge ministry is very, very important. It helps families that are involved with the foster, we like to call it ministry, but it helps fostering families in a way that allows for young people and the adults in those situations to find homes that are loving and caring and also honor and respect God. And I think that's really, really important. And so we are a part of that, and we're excited that the other two churches that will be a part of that with us are excited. And that's the big main reason, but there's another reason. I love that we can work together with other churches for a common goal. And if this was another focus, like we did a couple years ago, a prayer fasting focus, we would do it if the Lord was in it. And I believe as we work together in our community, we see the walls crumble, the barriers eliminated, and ministry go forth. And we are not competing with other churches of like faith. Amen? We are partnering with. And so that's a big reason why I want to share just the reason why we're doing this is really twofold. One is it's a wonderful ministry, and two is let's be excited that we can work together with another couple of churches in our community. Sunday school will begin on the 19th. Because of next Sunday's schedule, we're putting it back a week. Dinner church, I already mentioned. So there's other details there for you, but there you go. I did not double check to make sure we aren't missing a video commercial. Is there anything prepped, ready to go? We're good? Okay, well, we will have our kids dismissed to go with Beth for BGMC. And as the kids are going, we will open our Bibles to the wonderful book of Ecclesiastes. Ecclesiastes, what a great book that is, right? It's really an interesting focus on wisdom and the folly of mankind. And I find it interesting, there's places where you can glean a little bit of truth for your own challenge and your own decisions. There's a place in there where King Solomon actually says, hey, I've tried everything under the sun. And he begins to describe the things he's tried, which included alcohol and drugs. Can you imagine? Who's this guy? He's supposed to be so smart. And he's even trying things to get high. And yeah, that was meaningless too. It meant nothing to me. What is life? And so there's so much being said here. Well, we're focusing on one particular word of wisdom. Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verse 9 through verse 12. Two are better than one. All right. Because they have a good reward for their toil. For if they fall, one will lift up his fellow, but woe to him who is alone when he falls and has not another to lift him up. Again, if two lie together, they keep warm, but how can one keep warm alone? And though a man might prevail against one who is alone, two will withstand him. A threefold cord is not quickly broken. Let's pray. Lord God, thank you for wisdom, practical wisdom sometimes, spiritual wisdom, wisdom that goes deep. Thank you for what we're going to refer to today about connecting. I pray, Lord God, that as you have encouraged my heart this week, inspired me, I believe, that we will all be encouraged and inspired, that together we will hear your words, we will understand your truth, and apply them to our lives. I ask, Lord God, for your anointing. I need your help, that we can all be blessed by what you have. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Connect. Connections. Two are better than one. Words of wisdom. These are challenging words for me. I'm just going to be real open with you. I, by nature, am a loner. The number one reason that I said no to God when he called me into the full-time ministry, which I wanted to deny for a long time, the number one reason is because I don't like to be around people. Dun-dun-dun, mic drop, let's go. That's who I am by my natural tendencies. I am not a crowd person. I am a loner. I'm the one that you would find on the mountainside after 15 years of being alone, and you don't know what this guy is going to look like when he comes off the mountaintop. That's the guy I could easily become by my natural tendencies. And yet, ironically, God has given me such a love and passion and compassion for people that I can't imagine not being around people, even though I can certainly imagine not being around people. It's just a strange thing. What has he done to me? Is some of the questions I ask once in a while. There are times where I'm working on a job, and I'll share an example, and you can all shake your heads and wonder and think, what a dummy. I'll just say that. That's a nice way of saying it. So we had a church very similar to this one. As a matter of fact, I'm quite certain the pews were made by the very same company because they are identical. And we had to sand the floors because we had hardwood oak floors, beautiful floors that were tarnished and rough and scuffed. And so I took it upon myself to sand the floors, and I had a little bit of help at one point, but not enough help. You know how that goes? And so what did I do? I picked up every single one of those pews by myself and stacked them on the platform. As I'm doing this, Tina walks in and she looks at me with that look she's giving me right now and said, "What are you doing?" And I said, "I'm moving pews." And there is a balancing point where it makes it a little easier than, yeah. Okay, now let's just admit, when I was young, maybe that wasn't the smartest way to do the job. Let's admit, honestly, that I would probably still do it now because I'm stubborn and I'm a loner. I can do it myself. I don't need any help. Yeah, come on, guys. You know who you are. All the wives said amen because they know too. It would have been better had I at least had one other person helping. I might have saved my back some strain. Thankfully, I didn't do anything nasty, pull a muscle, slip a disc, nothing like that happened. Thank the Lord for that. But two are better than one. That's words of wisdom I need to learn from. And I still have to relearn it. There's strength in numbers. We like that. It's true. If you're in a situation where there's a bully picking on another person, that one person may not be able to withstand it. But you get two people side by side, and suddenly that bully is not such a big bully anymore. Because it's easier to handle that one when there's two together. It's common sense. A cord of three strands is not quickly broken. We all understand that. We've pulled things with ropes. We've pulled things with strings. We've had the snap, and we've had the hold. We understand that truth. These sayings are easily proven to be accurate in truth. But there's something that goes on much deeper than the obvious. And here's the facts. We are made for connection. You are made to be more than just you. This is a word that I have to grasp and understand and know. Because tendencies of personalities will sometimes get in the way of that. But let's be honest. There are some of you who thrive on groups and crowds and people. I mean, you don't come alive until you have at least two or three around you. Because that's your natural tendency. But the reality is we're all made to connect. We all need somebody. We need something to believe in. We need somewhere to belong. We need a way to behave. We need something to become. We are a needy people with souls that long for connection. People will look for connection to their family. Family, for many, is the number one source of connecting and satisfaction. Some people don't find it in family. They find it with their friends. Family may not be it for them, so they go to the friends to connect, to feel satisfied, to quench the longing. And nowadays, because of technology, we have something called social media. We have Snapchat. We have TikTok. We have Facebook. That's for old people now. Facebook was young people, now it's old people, right, Jonathan? Yeah, that's the way it works. We have social media. And so we're more connected than we've ever been before. But the key to success for the human soul is found in connecting first to God. The key to success for the human soul is first found in connecting to God, and I can't stress that enough. And then secondly, to one another. You are hardwired for connection. So I want to challenge you today, get connected the way God intended. There's only 2 points today. It might be a short message. We'll see how it goes. Turn with me to Genesis chapter 2. You were made for connection. Genesis chapter 2, verse 18. Is where we'll start. Then the Lord God said, "It is not good that the man should be alone." All the men said, "Amen." "I will make him a helper fit for him." Now, out of the ground, the Lord God had formed every beast of the field, every bird of the heavens, and brought them to the man to see what he would call them. And whatever the man called every living creature, that was its name. The man gave names to all livestock and to the birds of the heavens, to the every beast of the field. But for Adam, there was not found a helper fit for him. That even included the dog. Man's best friend. Right? It's just not quite there. It's not quite enough. So the Lord God caused deep sleep to fall upon the man, and while he slept, took one of his ribs and closed up its place with flesh. And the rib that the Lord God had taken from the man, he made into a woman and brought her to the man. Then the man said, "Woohoo!" Well, something like that. The man said, "This is at last my bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh, and she shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. Therefore a man shall leave his father and his mother and hold fast to his wife, and they shall become one flesh." So, and we know they were naked and all that good part of the story. They were one flesh. Man needed woman. Woman needed man. There was a need and a desire for connection. However, there was a priority and a must need for connecting first to God. I want you to see chapter 3, verse 8 through 10. That's not what I'm looking for. Oh, here we go. So the Lord, in verse 8, was walking in the garden, and that's what I wanted to show you. And they heard the sound of the Lord walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and the man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. But the Lord God called to the man and said, "Where are you?" What's happening here? Well, there was an understanding of fellowship that was happening, an understanding of connection to Father God as he walked in the garden with the man, with the woman, Adam and Eve. They realized after they sinned they were naked, and so they hid from God. They knew they blew it, and now here he comes. "Where are you?" Verse 10 says, and he said, "I heard the sound of you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked and I hid myself." There is an understanding of connection taking place here, relationship, if you will, that is between the man and the woman, yes, but most importantly, between them and God. And I want to give you a backstory of what took place here so you understand and grasp why we still, even yet today, struggle. God decided that man needed to have his fulfillment in this life with someone else of the flesh, and so he made a woman, and the two, as they come together, by God's choice and his plan, are united as one flesh. This was the way God made us. It's part of the plan. It was part of the connection of our souls that desires to be fulfilled. But the problem is, when sin came, the temptation was there. The serpent deceives Eve into taking from the fruit because she is told something that could be categorically the truth. If you eat that fruit, you won't die. Surely you won't die. So she ate because it looked good. And after all, if I eat this fruit, I will be more like God. I am made in his image. Why not? Why not be more like him? I can't imagine what the total process of the thoughts were, but they were happening then and there. And so she ate. What happened? Well, Adam is said to have been standing there with her when this all is happening. So you have Adam, who is the protector of the home. Adam, who should have protected her heart and her mind. He just let it go, let it happen. She ate, and then she turned and handed him the fruit because he was standing there with her. So what happened? Well, here's what happened. Adam, when he ate, chose Eve over God. He chose the connection and the relationship of Eve and put her number one and God number two. And sin befell them. Some people will say, oh, it's all Eve's fault. Let's blame Eve. It's women. They're the ones to blame for sin in the world. No, sorry. If you were to point your finger at one of the two, I would point it at Adam all the way. Because he could have said, stop! Don't you dare reach for that fruit. God has said not to eat from this. Don't listen to that serpent. There's something not quite right about this. I don't feel good about this. It doesn't seem right to me. Therefore, Eve, no, don't. But he didn't stop her. He let her do it. And here's the interesting challenge that we have, even yet today. Eve continues to be Eve in the areas of sin, in the temptation therein, and leading down that path. And you can certainly draw conclusions about what that means for you ladies, about the challenges of your own soul. And the truth of the matter is, Adam, men, still choose Eve over God. We put the desires of flesh over the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. We want to have connection first with the flesh, with either the man or the woman in that relationship. And then we think about God and where does he fit in our relationship. And that is upside down and backwards. And so the result is people today are still starving for the connection that God has intended all along. We are starving to belong with someone. We are starving to belong to someone. We are desiring to be desired. We are desiring to be loved and to give love. We want that connection, satisfaction that we just can't seem to find in one another. We can't seem to find it with Eve. We can't seem to find it with Adam. We can't seem to find it with Facebook or TikTok or Snapchat or any other social media. And we starve and we long and we keep on doing it and keep on doing it. And we just can't figure out why we are so depressed, why we are so hurting and lonely and never satisfied. And this goes for those who are in a relationship with God in marriage as well. Meaning you're a husband and wife, both believers, and you are believers in the Lord Jesus Christ as married. You still have a tendency to seek out your fulfillment from your spouse. You still have the tendency to think he is going to fulfill the longing. She is going to make it all right, and you're going to be disappointed if God isn't number one. You want to feel truly connected? You want to truly have the soul's longing satisfied? You need to put God as your priority. And then that relationship of marriage that you have. Do not get it twisted around. We're all guilty of doing it. In our own way, we're guilty of doing that. And I want to challenge you to first look to Him. Social media is not the answer. Social connecting has increased exponentially, and yet, our fulfilling connections are failing more and more. Loneliness is plaguing our nation and our world. Depression is overwhelming our young people. Emptiness is expanding, not shrinking. We long for human interaction. We long for human connection, and it seems absolutely unattainable because we're not looking first to Him. And that should go without saying, but it's obvious if you are not a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, you have not submitted your life to Him and have been born again as He described. If you have not received His forgiveness and His love, well, certainly you're going to struggle with fulfillment and connection as God intended. You're going to try to find it in other sources, and you will constantly and forever be short of being satisfied. We are always plugged in and yet more disconnected than we've ever been. It's just really, really sad. I'm guilty of doing the same thing. It's actually a fun little side game of mine to look around the table and see how many people are at their phones and not in connection with the person there at the table. It's unbelievable. And it was years ago that the joke came up with a youth pastor who was in a living room Bible study with his youth, and he asked, "Where is so-and-so?" And he was just sitting in the other room because he hadn't come in to see if everybody was there. And they said, "I don't know." And they started to text him to find out where he was. And he was sitting across the room. They had no idea that he was there in the room because they were all on their phones. "I don't know. Where are you at? Where are you at, Fred? Where are you at, John? Where are you at, Ann? Where are you at?" Whatever name you want to throw out there. Put the phone down. There we are, right? "Hey, how are you doing?" Now, there are advantages to having the connectivity. There are things that we can do that are good. But I want to challenge you. Yes, the reason that thing is so obsessive, the thing that takes your time, the thing that you cannot seem to put down, the reason for that is you were hardwired to connect. It's built in. And it is going to grab you if you don't understand how you need to prioritize. So number two, yes, you were made connection for connection, number one. But two, connecting or connection needs to begin with God. That's where it starts. A successful horizontal connection, meaning between us in our relationships, needs to begin with a vertical connection, being between us and God. I realize that's not technically accurate, but we'll use it. Relationships without God cannot fulfill the longing of the soul. Without a healthy connection to God, we will fail in our connections with others. Going back to Genesis one more time, Genesis chapter 1, verse 26 and verse 27. Then God said, "Let us make man in our image, after our likeness. And let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the heavens and over the livestock and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." So God made man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. You have a hole in your soul that longs for him, that longs to be connected to our Creator, that longs to be satisfied with something or someone that only He can fill, because you're made in His image. It is God who created me. Therefore, in Him, I find significance. In Him, I find support. In Him, I find fulfillment. And when I understand who I am in Him, everything else can fall into its proper place. Ephesians, going to the New Testament. Ephesians chapter 1. Verse 3 through verse 6, and then we'll jump ahead to verse 11. It says this: "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, even as He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before Him. In love, He predestined us for adoption as sons through Christ Jesus, according to the purpose of His will, to the praise of His glorious grace, which He has blessed us in the Beloved. In Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of His grace." Wow. Jumping ahead to verse 11. "In Him we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to the purpose of Him who works all things according to the counsel of His will, so that we who were the first to hope in Christ might be to the praise of His glory. In Him also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in Him, were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it to the praise of His glory." You are chosen. You are not a mistake. You are not an afterthought. You are a plan of God, with a plan fulfilled in His coming to you in a relationship. Even as we go to chapter 2 of Ephesians, we see another portion of that truth displayed. Beginning with verse 8. It says, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing, it is the gift of God." In other words, you cannot earn your salvation by doing good things. Verse 9, it says, "Not a result of works, so that no one may boast." But verse 10 opens the door and the light of His plan and His predestined will. "For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand, that we should walk in them. Now, for me, the way I try to grasp this truth, the way that I handle this understanding is to personalize it. And I think about my childhood, I think about my raising and how I learned certain attributes as I grew. And when I struggled with the call and I finally said yes as a sophomore in college, I said yes to being a preacher of the word, I realize now today that this was always the plan. I couldn't have told you that when I was a child. I couldn't have told you that when I was a teenager. I didn't have the depth and the understanding. But as I look now at my life, I realize it was all orchestrated perfectly and wonderfully by Him. To the very moment and the very day that I'm standing here before you, this day was planned. This day was orchestrated by Him. What we are doing as a family today is not our decision. Having four beautiful young people in our home has always been the plan. No matter how long it is. And they're all having birthdays. Woohoo! Fun times. I don't know where family planning was, but they all have birthdays, like, all together. Well, obviously, for two of them, that makes sense since they're twins. So that's fair. This does not surprise God. This is His plan. What's His plan for you? What's His desire for you? Well, you have a plan. Not yours, but His. It's been prepared in advance for you. So that as you walk in connection with Almighty God, you fulfill it. And you see it play it out right in front of you, and you know this is the plan. Even the plans that are hard and difficult and challenging and sacrifice is to the hilt, you still get it. You know that this is the plan. I don't like the plan right now, but I understand it's His. And I walk with Him through it, and I trust Him in all. We need to first connect to Him and see that the will of God is accomplished in our lives as followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the cool factor about this plan is that He still is praying for us that we're successful. We can go back to John chapter 17, one of my favorite passages about the plan and the will of God. And how amazing He is to make sure that we're successful. John chapter 17. I'm sorry, I'm in Luke. Why did I go to Luke? I'll back it up a little bit here. Get back to where I'm supposed to be. There we go. John 17, verse 20. He's been praying, meaning the Lord Jesus has been praying for His disciples and for the followers of that day. And then He says this, I do not ask for these only, but also for those who will believe in Me through their word. That's you. Jesus, before He dies, prays for you. That they may all be one, just as you, Father, are in Me and I in you, that they also may be in us, so that the world may believe that You have sent Me. The glory You have given Me, I have given to them, that they may be one as We are one. This is connection to the highest level. The oneness of God, the oneness of one another. Verse 23, I and them, You and Me, that they may become perfectly one, that means complete, so that the world may know that You sent Me and love them even as You have loved Me. Father, I desire that also, whom You have given Me may be with Me where I am, to see My glory that You have given Me because You loved Me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, even though the world does not know You, I know You, and these know that You have sent Me. I made known to them Your name, and I will continue to make it known that the love with which You have loved Me may be in them, and I in them. Jesus prays for you. He prays for me long before we were even a thought in this world, long before your parents had any idea of coming together and producing a family, long before anything was thought about you from this world, Jesus thought about you. And he prayed for you. That's amazing. Romans speaks of such a thing as well. Romans chapter 8, verse 33. Who shall bring any charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is to condemn? Jesus Christ is the one who died. More than that, who has raised, who is at the right hand of God, who indeed is interceding for us. I want you to understand the importance of that. He prays for you before he dies, and after he ascends to the Father to sit at his right hand, he continues to pray. Now, we know there are some gifted in prayer. We call them prayer warriors. And I believe that there are those that have a special calling for that. And I love that. I think it's wonderful that you can pray and just see the hand of God move as you intercede. But there's nothing compared to the intercession of Jesus Christ. To imagine and to understand and to grasp the truth that he prays for you right now is just phenomenal. The connecting of the Lord Jesus Christ to your soul, even in salvation, it's wonderful, but he continues to pray. And because he's praying, because he intercedes, it asks the question, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation? Now, we're not even talking about the great tribulation, but we have tribulations. Shall hard, difficult days that come to you separate you from God's love? No. Now, there's a couple ways we can grasp that and receive it. One is to recognize the very obvious truth of it, that even though days are difficult, we can still follow him. But I want to say it this way. Days of difficulty shall come. Whoever said being a believer was easy? Whoever said that following the Lord Jesus Christ is a cakewalk? It's like, woo, once you're saved, all troubles just disappear. I would love to see chapter and verse. Because that's not what I find. I actually find that there's a lot going on that I don't like when I'm a follower of Jesus Christ. That means I'm supposed to be joyful when they persecute me. What? Be glad and joyful when I'm being hit and spit upon and abused? And no, that doesn't sound like the right way to handle that. I think we need to do eye for eye, tooth for tooth. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. Oh, wait a minute. Saith the Lord. That, oh, it's yours? Oh, sorry, I misunderstood. One of my little pet peeves, when you see one of those movies and someone says, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. Ha, 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 ha. I'm like, whoa, 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 you're totally out of context right now. Vengeance is mine, saith God. God's the vengeance one, not you. Stop it. Right? Sorry. Get a little sidetracked. Who's going to separate you from the love of God? Well, if tribulation does, then I question your connection. Are you truly connected, or have you flipped it and put some person in front of him? Because it says right here in bold letters that separation from God's love shall not happen because of tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword. That means I can go to my very death at the hands of the enemy and not be separated from God's love. That means I can be decapitated by ISIS in another part of this world and not be separated from God's love. And by the way, it's happening right now. I can be starving to death and die of famine and not be separated from the love of God. And we think we have it hard in our country. Why? Because we have forgotten about the connection. It's not the world. It's not stuff. It's not him. It's not her. It's not us. It's him and only him. And when you lose that, everything else becomes too important. And suddenly we're upside down and we can't figure out life. Jesus is praying for you. He prayed for you before he died. And now it's telling us, because of his intercession, you can face famine, nakedness, danger, sword, and not lose the connection to God's love. For your sake, we are being killed all day long, it says. We are regarded as sheep to be slaughtered. That sounds like a great life. Let's do that. I mean, who's trying to sell this thing about the way and the truth and the life? Come to the Father through Jesus Christ. This does not promote well. Yeah, come to him and be naked. Have a sword take you out. Be starving to death. Be persecuted. Be led to the slaughter. It's all wonderful. Join me in this venture. Doesn't sound so great, does it? And yet it is. And yet it is. You can face anything this world gives to challenge you, to make you uncomfortable and even pain-filled, and yet not lose the love of God, because he intercedes for you and I. He is living within me. He's living within you. And you have a Savior for eternity. This life of which we live is not our home. We have a better home to look forward to, but we don't get that when we flip the connections and somehow we think if we get enough likes on Facebook, we're worth something. It is God who created me, therefore in him I find significance, only him. No one has the right to write or tell you who you are, not even your greatest loved one. Your most wonderful spouse does not have the right to tell you who you are. Only he does. Now, hopefully, you have a loving relationship with God as number one, and in that home, you don't hurt each other with words. Hopefully, in your home, you don't expect to have things that are going to happen that are painful, because you have this understanding of love. You know, like Jesus loved the church, you know, like the bride is, and all that wonderful picture. But let's be truth. Let's be real. We're still human. We make mistakes. We make bad choices. But it should never harm the love you have for him or the love he has for you. I find significance. I know who I am through Christ. I had a miraculous change in my life when I was a teenager that I cannot describe to you. And I've never looked back. I find support. I like being encouraged. I like it if somebody says, good job on whatever it is I've done. Those things feel good. They're things we should say to each other, aren't they? But I don't do anything to please anyone but him. That's the way I should live my life. And if I live to please him, it's amazing how it will please the ones I love the most. But if I flip the order and begin to choose the flesh desires over the godly things, suddenly my world is upside down. And I find I need support from someone else other than him, and it doesn't ever satisfy. I find significance, I find support, and I find fulfillment through Jesus Christ. The connection I have with God the Father because of the way, the truth, and the life as we come to him through the Lord Jesus' sacrifice. It is in Christ that I find love. And yes, we should find love with one another. And we will, and we do. But please, please make sure you're finding the number one source of love in Him. God's plan was to bring you together, yes. He said, it's not good for Adam, for man, to be alone. Therefore, He made Eve, and now they are one flesh. That's a good thing. God made something beautiful in marriage. But that is not enough. It will not satisfy. Only He can satisfy. And that goes for those that have depended on the children to be the one that brings the support, the significance, and the fulfillment. Your children, as important as they are, will not satisfy. How many times do we put the kids above anything else? Even our relationship with God. And we think somehow it's honorable. We've been deceived. Jesus actually used some words that are shocking and offensive. I don't have the chapter and verse to give you, but you probably heard it. He actually said these words: if you do not hate your father and your mother, your sons and your daughters. And He gives more of the relationships. Even yourself, you're not worthy to follow Me. What does that really mean? That means you must first connect to Me before you connect to them. My relationship with you is more important than your relationship with your own children, your own parents. And yet somehow we have come to believe it's honorable to put family above all else. No. It's not. Put Him first, and then you put family in their proper place, and it will be beautiful, and it will be wonderful, and it will be fulfilling, and it will be joy. You get that upside down and mixed up, and you're going to have a lot of problems, a lot of struggles in this life. I want to challenge you. Know the priorities of connection. In Christ, I have found love, joy, peace, significance. It is through God that I found myself. In Him alone can I truly express myself as I was meant to. In all my weird quirkiness of who I am, God made me this way. I recognize it, and I'm owning it. It's who I am because He made me this way, and His love is where it's supposed to be. And so, will you live this way? I believe many of you do. Don't lose it. Be who you are in Christ. Would you stand with me as we close? We can always do better. We can always love better. We can always do more as we first submit to God in that relationship and make Him the priority. And then all other relationships should become beautiful. I challenge you, make Him your highest priority. Is there anyone here today that would say, I want to do that right now? I want to make God my highest priority. And just submit your life to God. We got one. Wonderful. Anybody else? Whether it's your first time saying, I want to be a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ, or whether it's your 10th time that you say, I need to refresh this. Anybody else want to say, yes, I want to follow God today? All right. Well, I'm going to pray a prayer that you can pray with me out loud or in your heart. Just acknowledging, I want Him to be number one. Lord God, thank You for loving me. Thank You for opening my eyes to the truth that the most important love relationship in my life is You. I see now that I am not a mistake. I see that I am on purpose. Your purpose. And that You have something for me to do in this relationship. And so I submit myself to You. I ask You to be my God, my Savior, my Lord. I will follow You. I will ask that Your will be done in my life. I know that I've got sin in me. I ask You to forgive me. Make me clean. Purify my heart and make your home in my life. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. If you've prayed that prayer and sincerely meant it in your heart, tell someone. Tell me. Tell a friend. Tell a loved one. We will rejoice with you. Let's pray a dismissal as we go into our week this week, shall we? Lord God, thank you for your challenge. May we always, every day, understand the priority of your first. You're always number one. Help us to walk in faith through this week. In Jesus' name, amen.